Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks with our guest all the way from Israel, Rabbi Moshe Rothschild. Rabbi, I want to, you and I are part of something miraculous, and it has to do with Jews and Christians together. I mean, this has not been the case. And I've been walking in this since 1980s, and I'm seeing it grow and grow and grow and grow in a phenomenal way. And I'm going to give you, this is another one of my sessions with my theology.
Okay.
And you can say if you like it or you don't like it. But here's what I see in my studying and trying to understand, that the teachings of Jesus were simple. And that people followed him simply for maybe 100 years. But then here comes all the other. Here come the Gnostics. Here come the this and here comes the that. And what I see as there was at first terrible persecution from the Romans and persecution from the Romans to the Jews and the Christians. You know, all the stories of that. They made torches out of right. Christians. Lights that to light up their games and their entertainments. But then to me, I believe in a personal Satan. Satan means adversary. I believe there is a Satan. Most Christians do believe that. And I think that God has plans for Israel. And he has said what they are. He's going to bring them home. Going to give them the mountain of the Lord's house shall rise, you know, all of that that comes during the millennium. We call it the millennium. And that the enemy, that the way he tries to keep, he's always trying to stop God's word from coming to pass. That's what he did in Genesis. Half God said. He throws, you know, doubt on God's word. So the way he thinks he can keep, if he ever can keep God's word from coming to pass, then he'll win. And I believe the way that he's tried to keep the word of God concerning the Jews from coming to pass, he just tries to kill them. He just thinks, well, they're just a small amount of the population of the earth. I just wipe them out. So that has been his what he's tried to do. And then with the church, we won't get over onto all of that. He causes schisms and divisions and all kinds of other things. But what I think that happened to the church, I think one of the worst things that happened to the church was the devil joined the church. And he figured if he couldn't lick them, well, join them. And so he joins them. And then the Roman Empire accepts them. And then they start having councils where a friend of mine, Brother Copeland, said they made up their rules as they went along. And they decided things that had to do with this and what saved you was baptism and this and that, and which was nothing like what was originally taught. And then they didn't know if it was baptism at death or baptism at birth. And there were always people who didn't believe. He called for councils. Constantine called for councils. And at those councils, the Nicene councils and other councils, they made up their rules as they went along. And so there you are, the ones decided what saves you. And then some of the people who didn't believe it, there were always people who didn't believe that. They held, you know, tenaciously to the simple teachings, but they wouldn't have their babies baptized. So he would take their babies away from them. They would take their babies away from them. So these people that didn't agree with Constantine and with his revelation, which he didn't tell for years after he had it, they couldn't go along with it. So they wanted to take the book of Revelation. They got to saying this, Constantine is the Antichrist. Book of Revelation, that's him. Rome, this. And so he wanted to take the book of Revelation out, but even some of the bishops that had joined with him wouldn't let him do that. So they just decided that they would lock up the whole of the Bible. They locked it away. And the world went into the Dark Ages. And if you don't have the Bible, then you have got to have these statues. You have to have something you can see. Well, of course, the Jews are never going to follow after any kind of a statue, a graven image. And so for century after century after century, the common man could not read the Bible. They were told that if you read the Bible, you will go crazy. I met a Catholic man one time who became like us, and he just laughed. He happened to be a Frenchman down in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And he said, my life was so terrible. I wanted to commit suicide, but I knew that was a mortal sin. I couldn't do that. So I just decided to go crazy. And I got out the Bible, the big, you know, family Bible that nobody can read. And he said, I started at the beginning. And he said, I just turned page after page. And I wondered which page it is that you go crazy. But of course, what did he find? He found the Word of God. So this theology was there for years and years and years and years. Replacement theology. They said, no, we have replaced the Jews. This church that we are, this Roman church, we have replaced the Jews. Replacement theology. Well, now you can't read the Bible and see that that has happened. So they locked away the Bible. And then it had to be interpreted to you by a priest. But then there came along the press, the Gutenberg press, and there came along people that could put the Bible in the hands of the common people. And now they're in trouble. And those people got burned at the stake for doing it. Mm-hmm. But the people called the Puritans, when they saw that Bible, they wanted to purify the Church of England. They said, they found it, God has a plan for Israel. He's going to bring Israel back home. It's not talking about us. It's talking about the Jews. And of course, the Puritans then, they were banished, and they had to get out of England. So they went first to Holland, where there they met Jews as well. And they worked together. And I want you to tell what you were telling about Columbus. Would you tell that story?
Oh, right. That 1492 were expelled from Spain. They were given a few months to get out, but they were expelled from Spain under what's called the Spanish Inquisition. The day that they were given that they were supposed to leave was the Hebrew date of Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. It was August 1492. And the very same day the Jews were expelled from Spain is the exact same day that Christopher Columbus sailed. And
what do you see in that?
They could not have known then what was a very dark day for Spanish Jewry. At that moment, light was being sown because Christopher Columbus would ultimately found the New World, including the United States, which would become the greatest haven for the Jewish people after World War II, after the Holocaust. So while for them it was a very dark day, but historically it was a day that was filled with tremendous light. And you see the hand of God in action. Sometimes you don't see it when you're too close. It's like looking at a painting too close. But when you step back and you look at history, you can see the hand of God as it's weaving through the days and the months and the years.
Because God has to preserve this people. They can't be wiped out like Satan would like to wipe them out. And in all of the Crusades and in the Holocaust and in the Tsarist Russia, if you read about these times, and that's the book, The Foot of Pride, that you'll have to go online by Malcolm Hay and find. But when Jews look at us, Christians, this horrible past comes before their eyes. How they have been slaughtered. Godfrey of Bouillon, the knight.
From the Crusades.
From the Crusades. Shelley and I have, here's from his castle. Mm. We have often gone to his castle. They couldn't even read. And this monk comes, and he tells him he's been to Israel, and you got to go free the land, and all your sins will be forgiven, and all of your sins of all of your relatives will be forgiven if you go over and you take the land of Israel. And so there went the Crusader monks, and along the way they slaughtered Jews and slaughtered Muslims. And so I have studied very, very deeply. It makes me cry to do so. And what makes me absolutely cry is they did it under the sign of the cross. They did it under the name of Jesus. When the New Testament tells us in the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians 10:32, you're not even to offend a Jew. It's offensive to, like, slaughter them. It's offensive to take them to the ovens. It's offensive. Ivan the Terrible, oh, my goodness, what he did in the Tsarist Russia.
Look, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but my family was deeply affected by the Holocaust.
Tell us.
And, you know, we have very few relatives because many were murdered by the Germans. And in the Jewish community, the silence of the Pope, which I understand, you know, that's the Catholics, but to Jews, they don't differentiate because we don't know the difference. It's the cross. And to them, it's the Pope is a Christian as much as anyone else is a Christian. And the silence of the Pope and the Christian Catholic community or whoever during World War II, when we were being slaughtered by the millions, has colored, maybe that's an understatement, but the view of the Jewish community to the Christian community. And that's why I think we are on the dawn of a new era right now, because we're trying to repair that relationship. And it's not going to be fast, and may not even be in our lifetime, but we're beginning. As it says, Hazorim b'dima b'rina yiktzaru, those who sow with tears. And whether those are tears of joy or tears of sadness, I don't know. But those who sow with tears, b'rina yiktzaru, will certainly reap with joy. And so, I mean, you're right, and I appreciate that you cry over that, because I hope all Christians can cry over that. But, but we need to reconcile.
That's right. Reconcile. And now this is something that's this is what, when I first started coming, close to Jews, they thought all of us as a Roman church.
That's right.
They saw us all as that.
Most
they did
Jews
not
do
see
not
any
that.
Differentiating
that's right.
at all.
No. It's only in the last 2 years that I've figured out that there are differences.
And, oh, really? What was it like? I mean, when
a Jew does not know the difference between a Greek Orthodox, a Catholic, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, and so on, a Unitarian, to them is all the same. Right? It's all the same. They're Christians, and they don't understand that there are theological differences, that there are, profound differences. And still today, most Jews don't know those differences. They just don't know them.
So they just lump us all into the category that we wanted to kill you.
Right. There's a knee-jerk reaction that all Christians either want to kill us or convert us. There's no interest beyond that. And many in the Jewish community, when you tell them there are Christians who support Israel, they're very suspicious. Do they support it because they want to convert us or kill us? Which is it?
Which is it?
Exactly.
They want to do one or the other.
They haven't met people like Billy Brim that are real Christian Zionists, as we've been talking about the last few days. And that's what we're trying to do. It's what you're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do, is to get the word out that there's a lot we agree on.
Oh, my, we agree on so much.
Yeah.
This is Billy Brim and Rabbi Moshe. We're going to have to leave again today. Where did the time go? I don't know. Somebody talked all this time. we are offering to you the book, The Mountains of Israel, because, people, it's written what shall happen to Israel in the millennium. But what about the United States of America? It's so important now that our leaders support the Jews coming back to the land so that we can know the blessing of God. Now, we're offering you a book, The Mountains of Israel. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. It's 1-800-972-3447. And we're saying shalom, shalom, till tomorrow.